Hi, this is Marcus Dupree, and you're listening live with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D, from his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits, and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to Live and in Color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. And Jimmy, today I'm going to let you know, man, and you, well, you probably already know, you should see some of my posts and stuff, but man, I'm hooked on WWE 2K24 on my Xbox, man. And you know, I love creating on these things, even back to the days of the Warzone game and all that, man. I love creating my own people.
Yeah.
And right now, I've just really created Slash and Wolfie D so far, but I'll get into some fictional people before too long, and I like to see what others do. There's some good folks out there, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love it. I mean, is there a chance of a Jimmy across the street? Who knows, right?
I think I should probably make one.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway.
You could be my manager.
I would love that, by the way. So, yeah, that would be incredible. But, okay, so it's so funny because what was it, SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain or something? I remember this was when Brock Lesnar was early on, and it was on the PlayStation 2. And I created my gimmick, and I had, like, you know, the Sting kind of tights on. But other than that, I look a lot like Slash because that was just how I looked at the time with the Fu Manchu and the
– yeah.
Yeah, but it was fun, man. I miss those days. You know, but
yeah, I hadn't played a wrestling game in so long, man. But I'll give credit to Bob Cook because he was posting his stuff where he's playing. I think he's on 23, where he's playing and making stuff. He makes some cool stuff, he makes arenas and everything.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten that far into it, but yeah, so I blame Bob Cook. So now I got a game to keep me occupied sometimes, but it's fun, man. I dig it.
Yeah, man, that's kind of why I stay away from video games, is because I honestly, if I did that, I would just not have any time for anything. I'm just I get buried into them so deep, and man,
yeah,
it's just, well, like,
it's hard. You know, I used to be like that, man, where I'd play a lot, but I can't do it no more. I'll play at night a little bit, and that's about it. But
yeah,
I got, and sometimes I'd rather just sit and watch TV anyway.
Right. Yeah, no.
A loser, then, I'm lazy, I don't have a life. So.
But isn't it funny how you, like, end up, like, you're like, wait, I started this at 2 o'clock and now it's 7 o'clock. And you're like, wait a second, I just created my pants. That's all.
yeah, no shit. Because there's so much to decipher through and, you know, to find everything to make it right.
I remember it was like face, body, gear, and boots, and it was over, and then wrestling moves, you know.
It's so way more in depth now. You could actually put your real face in there and shit.
I know, bro.
Custom tattoos, everything. But anyway, besides wrestling game, you know, I'll play some Madden. I really don't play too much other stuff. And it's kind of funny. I really didn't segue this on purpose, but it just evolved into that. So if you mix wrestling and Madden together, you kind of got our guest here. We got a football player, wrestler coming up.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah. Man, I'm going to tell you folks, if you have not watched ESPN's 30 for 30, the greatest that never was, it's about Marcus Dupree, our guest today. Watch it. If you don't know his story, it's a hell of a story.
It's
really watch it. This dude was a beast on the football field. Oklahoma Sooners, broke Herschel Walker's record in high school for rushing yards. And man, I'm telling you, I'm excited about this.
Me too. When you sent me the message, you were like, man. And, you know, we ended last week's episode with Jimmy Golden. Great episode. Lots of fun. Yeah. People digging my, you big dummy. You know, Red Fox impersonation. But anyway, what's so funny is at the end of it, you were like, our next guest coming up, hopefully we got this. And I said, yeah, aka the words hot. Well, I wasn't talking about Marcus Dupree, but I'm much happier that we got Marcus than who.
Yeah, man.
So we'll just
Marcus have a history. So
right.
I know.
I mean, he was in the USWA, man, you know?
Yeah. We hung out a couple times, and don't let that be that. But
I got to get that story. But anyway.
So, man, yeah. Man, Marcus is a busy dude doing a lot of things, man. So let's get him on here so we can get him about his way and on with his day. But yeah. Let's do it, bro.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Congratulations. You survived the commercial break. You can now level up. Jimmy, again, another very special guest that I met way back in 1993, I believe it was, wow. Because he got into wrestling, which is pretty cool. We're going to talk about that. And, man, what a story this man has. And if you haven't heard it, you must be living under a rock somewhere. And I am talking about one of the most recruited collegiate athletes in the history of football, man. We're talking about number 22 from the Oklahoma Sooners, Marcus Dupree.
What's up, Boomer Sooner, baby?
I hear you, man. I hear you. Man, your story has to be, if I could sum it up, it would be the saying, people mistake kindness for a weakness, man. I think that you were such a nice guy, and I think so many people took advantage of that kindness that you have, man.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, I look at that that way sometimes, but, you know, I kind of do when I do my speaking engagements, I kind of do, like, you know, patience in the process. So it was a little patience, and life is a process. So I just look at it like that. And what you don't die from, you just get stronger. So that's how I look at it.
That's a good way to twist it, man, and make it turn a negative into a positive, man. But, yeah. Man, one thing that wasn't a negative, man, was your high school career and your collegiate. Even though it got cut short, man, you were still you're a badass, dude, man. And number 22, you remind me, well, I should say this because you're older than him. So Derrick Henry reminds me of you, and that's my favorite football player.
Right. You know, the difference between me and Derrick, he's tall. We're kind of the same size. But I think me being just a total all-around athlete, because a lot of people don't know, I batted 500 in high school in baseball.
Yeah, I read
that. And then I ran track. The only person that beat me at that time, I was a ninth grader. I ran a 10.3, 9.500. But, you know, nowadays they run 100 meters. But the only person that beat me was Calvin Smith, who at one point in time in his life was the fastest human on earth. So,
wow.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, man. Dude, you're a beast, man. I watched some of your highlights and stuff like that. And what's unfortunate, man, is like when I met you back in the day, I just didn't follow football as much. I started following football when the Titans came to Nashville because I lived there. And when the Titans came to Nashville, I just became a football fanatic, man. And if I had known more about you when I met you, you probably hated me because I never would have shut up.
Well, you know, David and Steve, Dr. Jeff Williams brought me into the wrestling. I played, you know, at Oklahoma with Steve. And then he just taught me, man, you should come and try wrestling with us and blah, blah, blah. So that's how I kind of got into the game.
So let me ask you this. Did you follow wrestling growing up?
Oh, I know. I followed wrestling from the top of the Mississippi to the bottom, bro. I was a big Bill Watts fan. You know, I'm friends with Jim Ross. You know, we go to the games all the time now at OU. So I was friends with Jim Ross, and so that's how I kind of got in.
That makes sense.
So, you got any good Dr. Death stories?
If I could have had a chance to think about it, I probably would have come up with some. I just being playing with Doc and just being in the huddle, he just looked at me, and he was a senior. So when we first start, when freshmen come into to freshman fall practice, you're the only people on campus, really. So Doc was a senior, so you can see the dorm from the practice field. And so all of a sudden, we hear this big bellow, like, "Ah!" So everybody's like, freshmen, coming out practicing for the first day, and they are, "Who is that? Who the hell is that?" And everybody's like, "Oh, that's Dr. Dell." So everybody's like, "Oh, shoot. Is he crazy or what?" And then everybody's like, "Nah, well, he plays on offense." So I'm like, "Oh, I'm good then. Let's go." Dr. Different bird now.
Who was probably the hardest person, say like a linebacker or something? Who was one of the hardest people you went up against? Was it the person that you and him got concussed and got knocked out or whatever? Or was it somebody else?
Man, it was my high school defense. That's what made me so good, because I grew up with all those guys in high school. Uh-huh. And all of my guys I grew up with, we were all hungry. And, man, they didn't care. They would knock you out with no problem.
Right.
So it's playing at a 2A high school in Mississippi is tough. People don't realize how tough it is, because we had 13. Those 2 years, we had 13 guys sign D1 scholarships.
Really?
That's unheard of at a 2A high school.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
And describe what it was like at that age, man, and you got people showing up at your house and hundreds of phone calls and all these money offers. And I mean, describe how you felt at that age.
Bro, I was just enjoying the ride, bro. Me and my high school friends and cousins, we all played ball, they all got recruited. And so we're kind of just enjoying it, just embracing it. It wasn't really any pressure. Everybody thought it was a pressure. It wasn't any pressure. I just gonna pick a school. Just glad to be able to get a scholarship, really. So my mom didn't have to pay for me to go to college. So that's how all my friends thought. And that's how we all, dedicated that playing ball, so our moms don't have to pay for us to go to college.
And I promise.
There wasn't no pressure, bro. It wasn't any pressure. Everybody thought it was pressure, man. We enjoyed it. We embraced it. A lot of it was not knowing how this worked. So, but we enjoyed it. And so, hey, they do what it do.
I promise I'll get off the football here in just a second, because I definitely want to talk about some of the stuff you're doing as far as movies and all that kind of stuff and a little bit more wrestling. But I want to know, what do you think? And was he just like that with everybody, or did Switzer just have a hard on for you individually?
Everybody that I played with, everybody that knew around Switzer, he just was an asshole at that time. He was just, he was just cocky. He was winning, and he just was an asshole. He admitted he was wrong. I mean, that's all I can accept. But you messed my money up by fucking me up. So But now we're trying to do some things together in my hometown. Hopefully it'll work. Our Costco's, Publix, and who else? Kroger. And so we're trying to put in $100 million facility in my hometown, where there's opportunity zones there, and
awesome.
A lot of people need jobs.
So
hopefully it works out for us.
Yeah,
that's very cool. You've always been very involved in your community.
Yeah,
Jimmy, hot tag to Jimmy.
Yeah, so, okay, well, let me just add, kind of talking about football. I mean, you made Barry Switzer change the wishbone. You were so good that he changed his whole scheme. So I guess when that happens, do you think, okay, I'm just an extraordinary player and he's doing this for me, not knowing that, like, you're kind of putting something together that really, you're kind of, what did they call you? What is it they said that the 30 for 30 was best it never was? I mean, you were, though. That's the thing. I never really liked that title. I saw the 30 for 30. It was incredible.
Well, but it was kind of like a marketing deal.
Of course.
People started to say, man, this dude, he wasn't the best it never was. He was the best.
Right,
so
exactly.
Matter of fact, we did a 30 for 30, but he should be coming out this season. okay. About why was the reason the wishbone was broken?
Yeah.
And so they're going to have me, Herschel Walker, Bo Jackson, a couple other guys going to talk about what happened to the wishbone office.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be an interesting story that comes out when it's about, you know, Oklahoma comes into the SEC and, you know, Texas comes into the SEC. So it's gonna, I think it's going to be a big story.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So I'm gonna pivot to wrestling real quick. Okay. So PG-13, right? Okay. Two rapping white boys. Okay.
Right.
And I wanted to talk about Marcus Dupree in the Nation of Domination. So it's not that I'm mistaken that you were in the Nation. I'm saying, why didn't you get the call to bring Marcus up to the WWE with y'all, man?
Well, I was just doing something, man. I was just trying to see if I could do it because I was a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
So I would hip up with all the guys in Memphis. I mean, our day after a football game on Friday night, all my friends, all we did was watch wrestling from 8 o'clock in the morning to the late that night. All we watched, you know, Atlanta. We watched Tupelo Wrestling, which came out of Tupelo, but it was actually Memphis. And then we watched Atlanta in the evening. So it was like a full day of nothing but wrestling. So we was always just wrestling fans and just kept up with it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in the fall, what does that change to football, or are you still watching wrestling that day?
Oh, we still watching wrestling. We
football. I love it. Yeah, there's room for both, right?
Yeah, there's room for both. We switched over our schedule, but mainly was wrestling.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Do you still follow wrestling today?
Not as much as I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
It's kind of changed. It's more entertainment now.
Yeah.
I guess it just doesn't have the same feel as back in the day with Mid-South and all that. It's just a different total feel.
Yeah, it does. But recently, me and Jimmy talked about this, the WWE's on a roll, and they're actually taking things back a lot more old school, and it's very refreshing to watch.
Yeah.
Right. I've been watching it lately, so I think I watched it Thursday night, I think, maybe.
They have
something about it. I guess they get ready for the WrestleMania or whatever.
Yeah, that brings up a question. I've asked Wolfie this question before, and since you actually played NFL pro football and you've wrestled for the USWA, if you had to pick and it was on the same night, would you pick Super Bowl or WrestleMania to watch?
Depends on who's wrestling now.
Okay, wow. It depends on who's in the game too, right?
Yeah, who's in the game. Yeah, it depends on who's in the game and who's playing in the Super Bowl. I'll probably watch half of the Super Bowl because you can always come back and watch it again later on that night. So I'll probably watch half of the Super Bowl depending on who's wrestling, if The Rock or
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns or
Stone Cold.
Undertaker. It's okay.
Undertaker, yes.
Hey, so here's my question. I'll one up that question.
Okay.
If you had an opportunity to play in the Super Bowl or have a match on WrestleMania and they were the same night, which one would you choose?
I'm going with WrestleMania, baby.
Man, I like this guy.
Yeah, I'm going with WrestleMania because it's a different crowd, and you get a different marketing era, whatever.
Yeah, and you're solo. You're not playing with a team. You get all the credit.
Exactly.
Can you tell us about like. You told me you were producing some stuff, and I saw something where you're going to have to tell me how to watch it, but there was a movie that I think that you starred in, maybe more than one.
You're talking about Mysterious Circumstances.
Yes.
It's a true story about Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
So I played the free slave that led Lewis and Clark around the world.
And you got to hang out with Bo Duke, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a funny story. I already knew Bo. I knew John Snyder from being recruited in the ninth grade. So my friend Marty Gamblin is from Philadelphia, and he was out there in L.A. He also just disappeared. And so he's like, Marty, he come back home. He was working out at the high school gym, and we're all working out there, too. And we're like, Marty, where you been? He's like, you know, I'm Glenn Campbell's manager now, so I'm in L.A. And so He, you know, he used to come back and forth. We used to see him because we were in Boy Scout. He was over the Boy Scout. And so he was like, Marty, we want to come to L.A. We want to see all the superstars and stuff like this. Well, y'all pick a time and y'all come out here during the summer. So we went out and put us in a big house in Beverly Hills. And every, when I say everybody in, at that time knew Marty, it was like, wow, we met Michael Jackson. We might, I mean, we met so many people. Super Ringo, that's when we met both. John Snyder at the at where all the stars work out at, and so
wow.
We met him and so when I found out he was gonna be in the movie, so I ran up to him. I said, Marty, do you remember me? I mean, John, you remember me? And he's like, I kind of do. I said, let me get Marty on the phone. So we called Marty, so we had a reunion, and so then that's when I started being in the movie, back in the movie with him. So I did two with him at his studio.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So,
dude, that was like my dream to hang out with Bo Duke as a kid, man. I acted like I was Bo Duke, you know? So
see, Jimmy, this is where we're different. I would have preferred to hang out with Daisy.
Oh, well, fair enough. Good point. Touche, Wolfie. Yeah, you're right.
I'm sure. Hey, check this out, though, Wolfie.
Yeah.
When I was being recruited, so I didn't know Farrah Fawcett went to Texas. So yeah. She up and called me and recruited, you need to come visit Texas, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God, this Farrah Fawcett? Oh, Jesus.
That's awesome.
Stuff like that is crazy, man. It's just amazing.
It is, man. I mean, seriously, because like I was saying earlier, you know, you say you just kind of, you was enjoying the ride and whatnot, but man, that's got to be freaking cool, man, at that age. People, just because you were so damn good at football, they're just treating you like royalty, man.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. I mean, one time, Ron Myers flew in. He was just flying to see another recruit. And so it was around right before Christmas or whatever. And so he said, Marcus, I'm going to call. Called my house. And so at that time, we was like, okay, I'm going to stop in Philadelphia on the way to see another recruit. So he stopped in on a Learjet. And see, me and my cousin go see him at the airport. And he pulls out $5,000 right there and said, there was more from where that come from. So take him by LSU and gets back on the plane and leave.
Wow. That must be nice, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
$5,000 in 1982.
That's right. a lot of money. Yeah, yeah. We oh eat Sizzler. Man, yeah, what do you think about all this? I mean, can you imagine how much money Marcus Dupree would have made if the NIL had existed at that time?
Man, it's funny that people talk about NIL. My mom was talking about NIL back in 1982. She comes to a game, and she, matter of fact, it was the Oklahoma State game, and at that time I was starting. And so in the stands, all these people had the Ron Marcus Dupree t-shirts on. They had the foam finger, number one, Ron Marcus Ron. So after the game, my mom says, are they paying you for that? I'm like, no, mom, are you paying for me? She said, well, they're going to start giving you something after I leave here today. So I start getting $2,000 and $3,000 in my room every now and then. So, yeah, she was talking NIL way back in 1982.
That is amazing.
But they're going to have to do, they're going to have to reel it in a little bit. I think they're getting over the top. I mean, I think all players should get X amount of dollars straight across the board, no matter if you're a superstar or not. Give them $3,000 to $4,000 a month, and everybody should be happy. Not $300,000, not a big Rolls Royce, none of that. They don't have nothing else to work for when they get to the pros.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, can you imagine making more money than your coach does and then having to respect him? You know what I mean? I mean, or getting the, can you imagine being a coach and your star running back is making more money than you do and you're wanting respect from him? It's just, it can open that. And then the transfer portal, golly, pretty soon they're going to be like, Marcus Dupree on that play for Oklahoma. Oh, here he shows up in the next quarter at Texas. Oh, man, now he's in Tennessee. You know, it's like.
Exactly. They're going to reel it in. They let it get out of hand. And so, but they should have been taking care of this 30, 40 years ago.
Amen. Amen. You're right. You're right. So, who do you see in the current game that reminds you of you?
Only person going to come close is Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Yeah. Deuce, deuce.
But the thing is, when I was on you, I was the third team quarterback running the option. And then I was quarterback in high school. I played free safety in high school. I was a four. I was dunking a basketball in the seventh grade.
Wow, seventh grade. I remember when I touched a rim in my senior year, and I'm 6'2", and I touched the rim, and I'm like, yeah, I'm bad. I'm white man can jump right now, you know. And there's guys dunking in seventh grade. My God,
I could dunk a volleyball.
Yeah.
So like you know, I'm from a 2A high school. We were barely 2A high school at that time. So we were beating 6A, 5A, 4A high school.
Wow.
So, it, you know, the core, I was blessed to come up with the core guys that I came up with because we all grew up together. We all knew how each other thought, and that's how we dominated the game.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Saturday, May the 11th, 2024, the biggest pro wrestling event in Columbia, Tennessee's history, Muletown Mania Fan Fest. Over 50 wrestlers from the past and present going to be there for the meet and greet from 2:30 to 5:30. Also that night, TriStar Wrestling has a huge card already signed. Doors open at 6 for that. Bell time will be 7 p.m. You're not going to want to miss it. A huge card already signed. Also, Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling will be in the house that night doing a Q&A with the Devils, the Wild Boys, and the Mortons from 4:30 to 5:30. Also, you have Kayfabe Cave there, your toy collectibles and wrestling memorabilia dealers. They're going to be in the house. Also, we've got the Devil's Disciples, Mephisto and Dante will be there. The Wild Boys, Ben Jordan and Steve Neely. The Monster, Forsaken. The Falks, Tony Falk and LT Falk. The Morton Brothers, Steve and Shane Morton. The Smoking Buds, Cody and David Morton. Jerry Lynn and Virginia Morton. Hot Rod Biggs. Jeff the Crippler Daniels and Dominique will be there. Debbie Combs, Lady Superstar. Sunny Street will be in the house. Luscious Quentin Charisma. One Half of Booty Call, Brian Turner. Mad Max. Cowboy Billy Montana, Scott Spade and Mistress Misery, Superstar Mikey Dunn, DBSG, Johnny Bandana and Ryder Anderson, The New Era, Tavon Jordan, D'Amico Graves, The One and Only, Majestic, Mr. Entertainment, Yukon Jack, Yours Truly, Pat Dooley, DJ R, Danny Pig, The Voice, Kane D, Pretty Boy, Preston Adams, plus many, many more. The meet and greet will be $15 if you buy your ticket in advance, $20 at the door. TriStar Wrestling that night, $10 if you buy your ticket in advance, $12 if you buy it at the door. This is a huge night, Saturday night, May the 11th, 2024, in Columbia, Tennessee, at the National Guard Armory at 844 North James Campbell Boulevard. It's going to be the place to be for the best wrestling action around. Come and meet some of your local stars, some of your favorite people, some of your least favorite people from your past and present. This is going to be an opportunity that you're not going to want to miss. This is going to be well worth the price of admission alone just for the meet and greet. And then TriStar Wrestling that night, biggest wrestling event ever signed in Columbia, Tennessee.
How did it feel when they told you you broke Herschel Walker's high school record?
I felt great. I mean, it was a matter of fact, that's going to be part of the movie because they're doing a script for my movie right now. That's going to be one of the scenes in the movie.
Yeah. Wow.
I guess after that happened, did you get to meet him then and he come and, you know, congratulated you?
I met him at the Ole Miss game on my recruiting trip. But Ole Miss and Georgia was playing. So I did two recruiting trips per se that day, one for Ole Miss and one for Georgia.
What'd he say?
He was just like, man, you come over here with me and we would kill the SEC. Yeah. Well, I've had to carry the ball at least 13, 15 times. You can't carry the whole game. So, it was a good time meeting him. Yeah.
That's funny.
Man. No, I'm just curious. You're talking about the movie about your life. Who's playing Marcus? Do you know? Is that person cast?
We hadn't got to that part yet. They're just right now developing the treatment for it. We were in New York last week talking about it. And so they're going to take a probably about a month and come down to Philadelphia and talk to people, because they're the same people who did Mississippi Burning. And
Mississippi Burning
is my hometown.
So
they're going to come back and talk to some more people and finish up the script.
That's cool.
I think there should be a scene in the movie about the night me, you, and Jamie went out, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Can we hear more? Can we hear more?
No, we can't hear more.
Oh, come on, man.
No, sir.
What did you think about PG-13 when you first met him? What were your thoughts, man? Like,
man, I thought they were cool. Yeah. I mean, they came, just a different look.
Right.
And how they did things. I mean, same thing with, Jerry Lawler's son.
Yeah, exactly.
Y'all followed into the trend of the young and, and the hip, and so that caught a lot of attention.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm just curious because, I mean, like, if there was something that you could tell young Marcus, knowing now what you know now, what are some things that you would tell the young Marcus?
To start getting more information about, when I was being recruited, because my mom was a school teacher. She didn't know nothing about recruiting. Just line up, like, now I'm helping my grandson who was being recruited, and he signed with Jackson State.
But awesome. It just, yeah.
Getting the information that you need and getting the information, the communication with the coaches, because all the coaches are going to tell you the same freaking thing.
Yeah.
Are you going to be a player here, blah, 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 but you got to do your own research. Let your parents do the research and see, if you plan on trying to play your first year, which most freshmen don't, you got to know all those things. Who's ahead of you? How many guys ahead of you? What's their grade? I mean, what classification? Are they staying? Are they going? It's a lot of things that now that I know, it's a lot of detail that you need to check out.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially now in this day and time.
No doubt. I mean, do you feel like there was a spot where you went right and you should have went left or something like that? Is there a time frame that you can point it back to where you say, okay, this was the time that I should have really gone this path, instead I went that path? Can you think of a time?
If Coach Wilson would have been a little better instead of just being hard on me, all he had to do was communicate. He didn't have to be hard on me. He just tell me if I'm fucking up, excuse me.
Yeah.
If I'm messing up, I'm messing up. Come tell me.
Right.
Don't go and tell somebody else and I hear it in the darn street, or I hear it on, oh, he should have did this. Even when I mean, my first scrimmage, I ran 150 yards against the first team offense, and I was running fourth team. And all these guys are all Americans and all that. And the reporter said, man, he had a great day. Oh, he missed a block over here. He missed a block over there. Blah, blah. He said, but this is the freaking almost the number one defense in the country. He just shredded it.
Right.
You still got something to say? He had nothing positive to say.
Man.
What was harder, playing football or wrestling?
Football.
Yeah.
Now, do you say that because you don't know pretty much the licks are coming half the time, or is it that?
Pretty much. You know, guys coming at you 6'2", 230, 240, running a 4.5.
Yeah,
and I'm running a 4.5, 4.4. We colliding.
Yeah.
So that's.
And I guess when I say that too, not necessarily like that, but like learning it, because I've worked with people that were good athletes and stuff like that in school and this and that, but I try to teach them wrestling and like they're very stiff and robotic and their footwork's not good. So that's I guess that's kind of what I was getting at, is as far as like learning the craft of it.
Yeah, I guess a little bit of, they both probably about the same. Like you said, you got to look at the little things. And then, like in NFL, you can't be a dummy playing NFL football.
No, not at all.
I mean, the play can get changed two or three times before the turn snap. And you got to know who to pick up and who not to pick up and when to get in your pass route. When, there's just so many different things and the plays change. And you can't be a dummy playing in the NFL.
Yeah. No. Who, in your opinion, who's the best pro running back of all time?
I'm going to say, well, it would have been Barry. If Barry would have had the same offensive line that Emmitt Smith had.
Oh,
Emmitt Smith did not get freaking touched until he got to the free safety.
Right, exactly.
So if Walter Payton or Emmitt or Barry would have had that same line, that Emmitt Smith back. Emmitt's okay, but I don't think he's a great running back.
No, he was just on a great team, and he could be a good running back.
Great team. They had all the parts at that time.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say like Walter Payton. I think Earl Campbell was even better than Jim Brown.
Oh wow, man!
A beast, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I love that, but I mean, I love Jim Brown too. You know, so there's nothing,
right?
You know, but that's cool that you say that. I mean, you know,
because he was a bigger athlete, and everybody else at that time was small. So
right.
Then you bring up to the era where Earl was playing. I mean, it was no holds barred.
Right.
No holds. I mean, shoot.
Yeah.
Clotheslines and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because Jim Brown was kind of like when Wilt Chamberlain came into basketball. You know, he was bigger than everybody. He dominated, right? Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points a game, you know, on guys looking like me down in the paint. Stop, sir, you know. But when it comes down to it, you know, that's a good perspective. I like that you said that. Earl Campbell's the man, you know. So.
Yeah.
Hey, so, and I know we're running low on your time here, and I want to know the answer to this. So when you didn't get on the plane in Jackson at the airport and you went missing for a week and the FBI was involved, where the fuck did you go?
I was sitting over there at Mississippi College in my roommate's room. I mean, my homeboy's room, Alvin Kent.
Just hanging out.
I was in Clinton, Mississippi.
Yeah,
because Alvin was playing at Mississippi College.
Oh, okay, so gotcha.
I ain't getting back on this plane. Fuck, you know. come pick me up. And so, I knew I couldn't play, I had a concussion. So I knew they were going to try to make the play. Back then, they were going to try to make the play.
Right.
I freaking couldn't see.
So were you seeing... awareness. Were you seeing the news and stuff that they were looking for you, and you're just like,
So I was like, man, you got to call your mama now because she's going to be hurt. So I finally called my mom, and so everything was good.
That cracks me up. I can't imagine sitting there knowing that the FBI's looking for me and everything. Hanging out. That's a great story. You really do have a just a great life story, man. It's cool to me. It's motivational. It's a lot of things, man. There's so much to it. And I really hope that the movie they're doing or the about you comes out great, because I mean, there's so much depth and twists and turns.
You know, they saying that it's going to do well. It should do way better than the Blind Side, because a lot of the Blind Side was a lot of fiction.
Right.
So this is going to be a lot of this going to be true. True stories, true everything.
Right.
So that's why they're thinking it should be way better. And then I was best friends with the son of the sheriff that let the three civil rights workers out when they got killed. So
that
was best friends.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's going to be a story in itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got one final question for me, and I'll shut up, I promise. This is a question that I just think is kind of cool. I don't expect you to go digging through your phone to tell us, but just a name that comes to your mind. Who is the most famous person in your cell phone?
Most famous person in my cell phone right now, maybe Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker. Wow. Okay. Very cool. Yeah. You're friends with Hootie, huh?
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So second person maybe would probably be John Snyder or Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ.
Wow.
I just talked to him 2 days ago.
Yeah. He was in that movie that came out. What was that about? Looking for the trafficked kids? Oh my gosh. I can't remember the movie. Anyway,
he just did that. Now he just told me, sir, I just talked to him Wednesday. He said, hey, get ready to start the filming of the resurrection.
Yeah, the resurrection. Yeah, it's the second. It's the man. It'll be an easier movie for him this time around. I know the story.
Well, Marcus, man, like I said, we really appreciate you coming on. I know you got a busy schedule and taking time out for us, man. And long time no see, man. Maybe somewhere down the line we can see each other again.
No more nights. No more nights like the before. But
and we still can't get that story.
We don't got old, brother. We can't.
That's right.
Get up in the morning.
That's right. That's right. Man, you take it easy, man, and have a good rest of your day. And thank you again.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you guys, man. Y'all call me anytime. Let's do it.
All right.
Sounds good, buddy. Thank you.
And we will be right back with Ask Wolfie Anything.
DJ, hit that music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And man, oh man, you're still not going to tell me that PG-13 Marcus Dupree story, dude. That'll
have to be off the air, man.
I understand, man.
And it's not because of me. I just.
Right. I don't
tell other people's shit like that.
Exactly. No, and you've kind of set that from the start. You're like, look, dude, I'm not going into that. But man, what a cool guy. You know, we only had him for a little while, but I was happy. I felt like there was no fat on the bone left, man. I mean, I don't think there was anything left to ask him, honestly, you know.
For sure, man. And like I said before we got started, man, if you haven't checked out his ESPN, or just go on YouTube and search his name and watch some of his highlights from college and stuff. Dude was a beast, man.
Absolute beast. And, you know, it's so funny. You know, my brother's a big sports fan. I was like, Marcus Dupree. And he was like, yeah, that guy. Boom, 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 boom. And he sent me all this stuff. I was like, you kind of sending me that stuff. He was passionate about it. So it was very cool. And, you know, honestly, the brother, I mean, if you just want to say, well, this ain't no football podcast, well, it can be whatever Wolfie wants it.
For sure.
But at the same time, he did have a time in USWA. And if you don't remember that, then go check your USWA tapes you recorded. That's and stuff. It. So, That's yeah, it. He's there. So, yeah.
Well anyway, happy Jimmy.
Well, anyway, since it was a shorter episode, what I was thinking is, could we maybe get a couple, maybe at least one extra question in for the listeners?
We could do that.
All right. Well, we'll do that then. Okay.
I'm so easy.
Yeah, you're sometimes easy to do things with, but yeah. Anyway, all right, the very first question today. So this one is from @thatguycristo474. And he says, was there supposed to be an in-game with the Cobain character you teamed with for like a week?
I don't know what that in-game would have been, man. It was just kind of thrown together, spur-of-the-moment thing. Not my idea. And I don't think there was any plans for that. And again, it was just one of those things where once I lost Brian, it was tough sledding for me to, you know, get something worked to end to make sense, you know.
No doubt.
I was just happy to still be wrestling.
So what do you think was the constant change with the Cobain, with the, you know, with Sin Bodie? I mean, what was the constant? Was it just TNA not wanting to keep the guys around, or just not feeling it?
Man, I don't know, man. I think me and Brian set the bar high enough that I couldn't. Whomever it was, couldn't. I don't think we ever got there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And plus, then Mitchell wasn't around for those either. So,
right.
Kind of took the new church out of the new church, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense, man. And I mean, unfortunately, when you cut the head off and the tail and all that, it's usually lights out for the rest of it, you know? Yeah. So, man. Well, yeah, anyway, you know, that was a good question. Definitely appreciate that. We always love to talk about Flash Flanagan, too, man. So,
And Sin Bodie. And be sure to go check out his LJN custom wrestling figures. Get yourself made or your favorite wrestler.
Yeah, man, he does some incredible stuff, man.
Yeah,
when I was out in Vegas, I was tempted to try to find him to go look at that collection, man. But Yeah, I thought it might be a little weird, but anyway. So just
he's the warlord of weird. What are you talking about?
He is the warlord of weird. You're right. Good point. Yeah. All right. Well, the next question is from Just Frank 1015, and he asked this one. He says, was bringing the PG, and let me just preface this. We know that you had done the slash gimmick in OVW, and we'd also known that you'd kind of gone past the PG-13 gimmick, but let me just ask this. Was bringing the PG-13 persona to TNA ever discussed? Was changing back to that ever thought of? Whoa. Go with that.
No, I never thought of it. I'm pretty sure they didn't either. And like I say, man, during that time period, you know, John Cena was over. Yeah. And it would have just, to a lot of people, like I say, even though I did it first, they would have thought, you know, I was a ripoff of him, which is far from the truth. But, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And the only reason that I, you know, like a few years back for Ric Flair's last match pay-per-view is just because the nostalgia of it, you know, and I pretty much do that at any signings, Wolfie, or anything that I do now, because just more people know that name, you know.
Right, of course. Yeah, and you're always Wolfie. Even, you know, when we talked to Father James Mitchell, even though you were Slash under him the entire time, he always calls you Wolf, you know, or Wolfie. Hey, Wolf. Yeah, Wolf.
Most people do, yeah.
I mean, love you, just, Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, most people do, man. And it's just, I guess, you know, also with my last name for legit being Wolf with an E on the end.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's natural. I had teachers in school that would call me Wolfie when they, you know, say, you know, first day of school or whatever, and the teacher's going over the roll, Warren Wolfie.
Right. Right.
I can't read, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And you're teaching me. I had one guy call me, one teacher called me Warren Waffle. I don't know if it was written on there funny or something, but yeah, he called me Warren Waffle. Everybody popped.
Oh man, that could have led into a, you know, it's like last episode, Big Dummy. I was worried the listeners were going to pick up on that and call me Big Dummy from now on, but, and it can still happen, but anyway. But when it comes down to it, you're glad that didn't catch on, right?
Yeah. I do like the Waffle House.
I love the Waffle House, man. Okay. Yeah, right. Warren Waffle. The next one is at Master of Viewership, okay? Right. And this one is for anywhere. USWA, WWE, WCW, ECW, TNA, whatever you want to talk, USWA, whatever. Did you know anyone who would politic their way, or was everyone happy with paying their dues? So mainly, did you know anyone in your time that was a big political person that absolutely politicked? Hey.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, lots and lots and lots, man. And I don't really want to call people out, but I mean, God, there's been so many people, and it comes down to money, man.
You right.
Some would pay to play, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the thing. It always has been, to my knowledge. But yeah, man, a lot of people would politic their way by paying money, you know, giving extra money or, you know, whatever, man. The only way you're going to do something, like, if you're really good, you don't have to pay, but you can still be a politician, you know. And that helps. It's not really a bad thing per se. I just was never really good at it. I just tried to let my talent speak for itself. And, you know, of course, I was good friends with Randy, which I did a lot of politicking there. But in my mind, it's not – that was just being friends and talking on the road. And, hey, what about this? What about this, you know? And,
right.
So, you know, that's a thing. But, yeah, I mean, there's always going to be politics and, you know I can say this, he's passed, but a friend of mine, Mike Anthony, Tiger Mike Anthony from Canada, man, his parents were rich, and that's how he funded his wrestling career. It wasn't from the money he made, but he went overseas, he went to Mexico, he, you know, did a lot of things, but it was basically because he could survive on the road without making great money.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great one. That's a great answer, actually. But that makes total sense. I mean, and I think that's a safe one to name. And maybe if you ever want to name some of the others, just let us know. So
it's hard to remember all. I mean, a lot of people did it at different, I guess, different levels, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe everyone did it at some point.
I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other people could do it in other ways too that got you heat though, like being a stooge, you know?
Right, right.
Telling on people for shit and, you know, reporting back to the office. That's the bad kind of politic, is being a fucking stooge. So
yeah. I'll say
that. And there's plenty of those motherfuckers too.
Yeah, don't be stooges, y'all. Come on, seriously. Just in life, man. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard not to be sometimes, but you know, right. So all right. Well, at Retro Rambles 517 from YouTube asked this question. How did you feel about TNA at the time? Did you think it was just another short-lived promotion, or did you expect it to be here essentially 25 years later?
Yeah. I hoped it was going to be, because, you know, I've seen them start up and shut down many times, you know, mm-hmm. but the confidence there is Jerry Jarrett and Jeff Jarrett, you know, and then you know that they've got a lot of money behind it. But then when, you know, Jerry departed and all that, you know, you kind of have questions. There was times I wondered, you know, are they going to end up shutting this down or no? Or, but it's hard to call it, man, on that type of stuff when, you know, we can sit here now and say, oh, yeah, I knew it was going to be here. No, you never know. I mean, so.
Right.
Yeah, but I had a lot of confidence in it, believe that. And I just wanted to be a part of it. And I hate it that I wasn't a bigger part and all that mess. But, you know, we had a good little run.
You did. And you're still talked about to this day. So yeah. Everybody loves the new church, even if it's just the intro music, which is incredible.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. Well, we've got one more if you've got it in you, brother.
Bonus question.
All right. So at Scott Fitzgerald 6309 on YouTube. And this one's just a question. And I think it's interesting because a lot of people are curious. So how did they get on with Russo? How did you get along with him?
Well, I didn't have a whole lot of, if we're talking TNA, I didn't have a whole lot of interaction with him, to be honest with you, because, and then in WCW, neither, because Jeff was my guy there, and then obviously he, you know, and we weren't in no angles or anything like that. I felt like Russo was not too interested in us. When he came along there in TNA, you know, I don't know why. And like I said, it was one of those deals too. Oh, we don't know what to do with you. Well, that's your job, is to figure out what to fucking do.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Are you asking for my opinion or what? But, yeah, man, I just didn't have a lot of interaction with him. Like I've told you 100 times, and we just said that politicking, man, ain't my thing, man. Maybe that's, you know, one of my, negative qualities as far as being a wrestler. I was just never really good at that, man. And I wasn't gonna, you know, go pull him off to the side. Hey, Vince, man, what's the deal? You know, I just show up and tell me what to do. I'm just one of the boys, man. You know, that's all I ever wanted to be, was one of the boys.
yeah. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, with him, you know, were he and Jeff boys? They were friends, right?
Yeah.
And that was kind of, yeah.
Yeah, they were good friends, man. And, you know, there's people that, you know, work like that's kind of, I guess this rolls into that other question again, is politics and people like Disco Inferno, mm-hmm. you know, and I liked Disco back in USWA days. And then when I got reacquainted with him at WCW, I found him to be a different dude. And, I don't think it's any big secret that, you know, he's kind of a politicker.
Yeah. What did Jarrett think of
that gimmick when I first saw it? You know, like I said, '93, I just watched a match that I'd forgotten about. We did a 6-man, me and Jamie and him. Worked Scotty Too Hotty before he was that, and two others, Randy Rocket and somebody else. But, yeah. I like that gimmick, but just he kind of turned into a kind of a douche to me, but whatever.
Yeah. A little stooge-ish maybe or something.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do? But okay. So what did Jerry Jarrett think of Russo? Do you remember?
Have no clue. Yeah. clue.
because I'd say he probably didn't. I'm sure it's out there. Somebody knows this better than I do, but just a guess. Because when Jerry left, it was kind of when him and Jeff had a falling out for many years. And, you know, I'd say Russo was kind of involved with some of that. So,
right, right.
I don't know for sure. And I might be talking out of my ass, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. And I just listened to this podcast, The Dark Side of the Ring, and they did the Jim Cornette Russo, you know, deal where they hate each other. And it was pointed to kind of some differences, like, you know, Jim Cornette is very liberal, right? Yeah. And but he also is very Southern based wrestling. He loves everything wrestling and believes in the business of the wrestling. You know, he believes so much in the wrestling business. Whereas Russo cared less about the wrestling business, but cared more about feeding his family. And he's definitely a little more on the conservative side of politics, yeah. Right? And when you look at the brass tacks of it, I really can't – I respect that about Russo, wanting to do the things for his family and, you know, being a little more conservative with things, where Jim is you know – but the thing that comes across – it, with us as wrestling fans, is we love the wrestling business just like Jim Cornette does, and we relate to Jim Cornette because he loves it so much. But at the same time, I kind of respect where Russo's coming from and taking care of his family. He cared more about his family than the business, you know?
Right.
And
right.
So it's like a catch 22 there, man.
Yeah, you know? I was about to say the same thing. Yeah. So I can see both sides, but I'm like you said, I'm more leaning with the Cornette on his thoughts of it, man. And,
oh, for sure.
You know, Russo was more, you said feeding your family, yeah, but then also he was more concerned with the entertainment value.
Right.
And Hollywood type stuff, and, you know,
hot shot the territory every week, you know.
And, yeah,
man. So I mean, he didn't really understand how to build a true storyline, and that's where you cannot top Jim Cornette, man.
Yeah,
I mean, Jim's one of the greatest of all time at that. But I just, you know, when you took it down to what the men believe in, it's sometimes like, man, Vince ain't that bad of a guy. But again, I know there's much more to it than that, you know. But when it comes down to it, obviously I'm Team Cornette when it comes down to it. But
yeah, and no offense to my northern friends, but he's very Yankee.
Right. Super, super Yankee. And there's certain elements of Yankee that we Southerners just don't understand, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we love y'all up north. Y'all are awesome. And we thank you so much for being great listeners, because I know y'all are strong followers of what we're doing.
Man, and we love the fans up north.
Yeah, we love y'all. But man, you know, when it comes down to it, we just sometimes don't relate on the same things. But hey, that's okay, you know. Yeah. But yeah, man, that is all I got on this extra special few extra questions segment of Ask Wolfie. So
yeah, sounds good, man. I appreciate it. And we appreciate Marcus. Like I said, y'all check out, if you don't know of Marcus or never heard his story, check it out.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to love.
Yeah,
you don't have to just love football, man. You can love just a real life story, and that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, now I am positive about this, what we got next week. And I'm just going to say he's an old timer, but he's been all around, and it's going to be quite an interesting conversation.
Yes, he's incredible. I've enjoyed his work for decades, and and we're stoked and very confident that one is going to happen. So,
that was happening. So, tune in next week and find out. Same bat time, same bat channel. This is Wolfie D for Jimmy Across the Screen. See you next week.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you a pro wrestling fan? Well, stop by Captain's Corner, where you can get autographed photos, cards, magazines, and figures from all of your favorite wrestling superstars of the past, present, and future. You'll also be able to participate in live signings in the weeks and months to come. Make sure to stop by Captain's Corner on Facebook and give us a holler. Remember, cheers to the working man.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudica and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
For your dome. And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still living in color. Plum rush your mother, utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N-O-D, and I was P to the G, plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are, without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip-hopping. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while when you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks from Obi-Wan or Vader. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh? I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome. You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.